Hey everyone, welcome back to But Why the Podcast, the podcast where every week myself, Adrian, and Matt talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, make sure that if you want to support us a little bit more, you head on over to patreon.com/butwhythoughpc and make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you're listening. It helps people find us. And as always, enjoy the show. Podcast, and today we are doing a Patreon episode for Charles covering Cowboy Bebop. As always, I'm your host Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And our super special guest, Nisha.
Hey. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I'm very excited to be on and getting to talk about anime. So
thanks for coming on. Why don't you tell everybody what you do? Because you do a lot. You got a lot of awesome podcasts. So why don't you drop all of them for them?
Okay, yeah. So I do a few podcasts. So two of them are with But Why Though and our podcast network. One is called So Here's What Happened. That's with Carolyn. And we do, basically, we watch and read a bunch of stuff throughout the month. So we typically pick our top three things, one movie, one book, and one TV show, and we review them and recommend them. And then my other podcast is with someone who's also on this episode, Kate, where it's called Did You Have To?, where we review live action adaptations of animations and we kind of decide how much alcohol do we need to get through them. Our most recent episode is the Attack on Titan episode, and yeah, it's fun. It's a good time talking with Kate about anime stuff. And then my other podcast that is still up, but it's on a slight hiatus at the time right now, it's called Speak On It. And that's where I usually have guests on, and we just talk about shit that matters to us, pop culture, things we're passionate about, other things. There's a great episode of me and Kate talking about gaming and representation in the gaming industry and all that. So yeah, that's what I do. You can also find me on Twitter, yelling at people, usually customer service shit. It's been a long day. Sorry. And other things, because I don't like bullies. And that's it.
Your Speak On It podcast sounds like an NPR podcast.
Actually, yeah. I guess
you should pitch that to NPR.
Maybe I'll shop it to them. I doubt they'd get it. I cuss too much on there. Can't censor me. Good luck, guys.
Oh, okay. You're going to make my life hard with this editing, Nisha.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Seriously, thank you for coming on. We wanted to make sure we had another anime voice on here, because if you've listened to us before, we've done Dragon Ball Z in the past, as well as Sailor Moon. There's usually only one of us that's, like, super, super big into it. One of us that is like, I know that thing, and I like it, but, And then there's Matt.
Anime exist.
I'm pretty sure we could, like, basically shop out, like, Matt's opinions on Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z and insert into this one.
I have to say, I do like Matt's takes on Sailor Moon, describing the future space baby falling from the sky. That cracked me
really
up.
Yeah, yeah. And his summarization of Akira is also fantastic, if you're one of our Patreon listeners.
Yeah, it was really good and really on the nose. And yeah, so Matt did, well, let's just get into it. So let's just start with, I'm leading this episode because I love me some Cowboy Bebop. And the question is, do you know what Cowboy Bebop is? I do. That's my answer, because I'm going to talk a lot about it here in a few. Everybody else can go.
I will say this. One, you should let me lead these episodes, only because there's actually a guy, he's a paleontologist, And he actually hates T-Rex, and so he basically hated it so much he ended up studying the whole thing, and he actually basically, his whole job is to learn about the T-Rex, and he's basically disproving all of what they thought about the T-Rex and learning more information about it out of hatred.
That seems like the ideal job for you. Just full of spite.
Yes, so basically what you saw in Jurassic Park, basically all the stuff that they've like disproven now up to that was basically done by that guy.
Damn. Mm. That's channeling your passions.
Yeah.
He basically gets his own TV shows of stuff where he does it stuff, and he's like, I hate the T-Rex. Now let's begin.
So what you're saying is, Matt, you need an anime podcast where you just say, I hate all of this stuff. Let's begin.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh. I'd listen to it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That would be really entertaining.
But back to Cowboy Bebop. I guess I'll go first and get it out of the way. So I did watch one episode of this, I think, guys.
I picked it.
Yes. And you might have changed my mind on anime for this one.
Yeah?
No, this thing was awful.
It was not awful!
There were disproportional people. They had long legs and they had long arms. There was a woman Joker. Oh, nobody had noses.
They all had noses.
No, they did not.
Which episode was it?
It was Ayn. It was episode 2.
Oh.
I mean, the dog was fine. There was a woman Joker. She had no nose. The one guy had no nose. She had no nose.
Are you talking about the lady who runs the pet shop?
Yeah, that's woman Joker. Have you seen her?
Wait. You're like, about like the unrealness in Cowboy Bebop? Didn't you watch like most of Anjin? In
yes, Hunter. And I actually had to quit that because it wore me out so bad.
There's some weird stuff happening in that one that's like possible.
Is it the animation style? Did you just correct him?
Yeah, that's what they say.
It is Ajin.
I watched one episode. I didn't like it, but because it was too disproportional, man. It just didn't look good.
So your issue is the animation style.
I did not like the animation. Plus, I didn't really care for it. Mm. It wasn't that exciting.
So I will say this: Matt said he wanted to watch one episode. And
I agreed to watch one episode.
Yeah, well, he agreed to watch one episode. And I really should have led with the pilot, because the pilot is a really strong pilot. I was like, I want to watch a dog again. Oh. So I chose episode 2.
I also will never forgive the show, because basically this ruined my Saturday nights for like 10 years, because I always watched Adult Swim, and they said, let's put anime on Saturday! And then I try to go to bed, and I'm like, there's nothing on TV after 10 o'clock.
It was not Cowboy Bebop's fault, because it was not like, well, no, they might have been still
That was the
it.
Golden age of Toonami, man. That was like...
Yeah.
It was the golden age of ruining my time of trying to go to sleep.
I'm like, actually, Cowboy Bebop would have been... Adult Swim, like, what, early 2000s?
That's about the time I would go to bed.
That's more than 10 years, Matt.
Okay, my bad. 15 years. So it's been ruining my life for longer than that.
It was one of the main ones. I know it was, when they started showing anime, it was one of the main ones.
Yes, it was definitely one of the main
ones. They're the reason they switched to, like, Adult Swim.
Do you know what I had to watch instead? I had to watch Bravo, and I watched Celebrity Poker and Duel Hill.
Why didn't you just go, like, watch Nick at Night?
Nick at Night, terrible. Actually, yeah, that's not true, because if you get past 4 o'clock in the morning, you got either the Cosby Show, which obviously before this happened, or you had Coach.
Oh, no. Well, at least you had cable. I didn't have cable for 10 years of my life, so...
I've had cable in like seven years now, so I don't know.
Talking about watching it at, like, hotels now.
Yeah, I was like, I haven't had cable in, like, 8 years now or something like that.
Okay, nice. After Matt...
Now that that's out of the way, you guys go enjoy it.
Adrian? Follow that up.
2012 is when Cowboy Bebop came on to Toonami, which I think is like the weekend
that
turn,
right.
Or like towards the start of the weekend. I don't know, but
Are you sure that that's right? Because that would have been after I had already left high school and I was watching Cowboy Bebop mm-hmm. and Big O. on Adult Swim while I was still in, like, middle school.
Yeah. I was like, I know I was
According
still in high
to
school.
Their block on the thing, on the thingamajig.
I don't know if it was called under
Wait,
a
I
different
know.
Name.
I don't know if it was called, like...
It was on Cartoon Network in 2003. It went it was on Toonami in 2013.
There
That's
we
the
go,
same
yeah.
Thing.
No, so what happened was they've moved Toonami to nighttime showings now. Back then, you had your nighttime anime, which was like Ghost in the Shell, Big O, mm-hmm. And Cowboy Bebop.
and Inuyasha, and all of that was happening at the same time, and I was definitely still in middle school.
Yeah. Okay,
so they're all the same to me. So all I know is Cowboy Bebop was in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, 2012 is like when they went to Adult Swim, so that's probably when Matt's talking about it. But I'm looking at these blocks, and I don't see Cowboy Bebop in any of these blocks from like 1999.
Because 2012 is not when they went. Wait, is 2012 when they started Adult Swim? Because that doesn't
No.
Because like I literally watched Cowboy Bebop.
Adult Swim has been around for 20 years almost.
Well, Adult Swim's been around for a long time, but like them putting.
I don't know if it's Toonami's called Toonami. Line of Fun, I just
Adult
know
Swim,
it,
2012
you said
through
2003
present.
Nisha, right?
I just know it's been Saturday night was always anime night. I don't know what they actually wanted to call it, but it was anime night.
Yeah, no, it says right here. In 2001, Cowboy Bebop became the first anime title to be broadcasted on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim in the United States. 2001.
Then this has inaccurate information compared to other stuff then.
Except
well, maybe
it might
it's
be
before the rebrand.
That's what I said.
Know,
it might be
Adult
during
Swim.
The rebrand, but I just know it was on during those times.
Yeah. But you know, like, Adult Swim went through that rebrand moment where they're like, okay, some of this anime is really mature. Now it's like Toonami is on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Like,
so
Toonami
it says
the anime black.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Because right underneath it, it says from May 26, 2012 to October 19, 2013, Cowboy Bebop aired on Adult Swim's Toonami block. So that was when they rebranded it and put Toonami in with that. But in 2001, they still had it broken down by Toonami and Adult Swim.
Come change these Wikipedia articles.
It is a mess in here. I'm looking
because I remember like my mom used to get mad at me because I was supposed to go to bed at a certain time and I'd stay up to watch these, but I wouldn't watch it the first time they'd come on. I'd watch them when they cycled through the second time at like 2 a.m.
Yep, same.
Yeah, when you want to go to bed and there's nothing on TV.
God. Sorry.
Okay. The funny thing is like Adult Swim is a point in my notes, so got it out of the way. Okay, Adrian, tell us about Cowboy Bebop video. Do you know what it is?
Yes. I know what Cowboy Bebop is. Because Toonami's a big part. I didn't like watch Toonami for Cowboy Bebop. It was one of those like, Cowboy Bebop's on as I'm watching my other shows waiting to come on. And you can't miss like the first 5 minutes of the show. You gotta watch everything back to back. So I watched Cowboy Bebop. It was very short, so like I've gone back and rewatched it a few times like over the years. I started to rewatch it again like leading up to this episode and kind of went back and like looked at my favorite episodes. And in case you were wondering, Matt, and I don't know if they covered it in the second episode, but the Bebop is the ship.
No, they didn't cover any of that.
Yeah,
well,
Bebop
they,
is
they
the
show
ship.
You the side of the ship and the ship says Bebop.
The only thing I was sad is, like, why have we not reached the point where we do have, like, ships like the Helicarrier and stuff that will land on water? That look cool. Why have we not got that technology yet?
Because we're not in Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, I just don't think we deserve it yet.
Well, if we went off of that basis, we'd still have rocks.
True.
I do genuinely think Matt would like the series if he didn't just watch my dog episode, but...
No, yeah. I think you would too, because it's different. It's not like your, you know, shonen anime. It's not like your shoujo anime. It's really not like. It's kind of different. It's a different category that I think Matt would like based on his love of like sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, and I think he would genuinely like Spike too. But we'll get into all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nisha.
Oh yeah, my turn. So yeah, I just like you guys. Yeah, I do know. Well, except for Matt, I do know what Cowboy Bebop is, and yeah, I was introduced to it through Adult Swim / Toonami whenever it was on the first time, because I know I was young and I was young enough to know I shouldn't have been watching it.
2001.
But I watched,
2001 Adult Swim.
Okay, yeah, I was 10, so I probably shouldn't have been watching it at that time. But I was watching it, and it was one of those.
Yes, Matt, you're
where...
an old man. Don't laugh.
I was like, I just started high school.
I was the same age as her, so.
Oh. No, I was just okay. No, it was just one of those animes that, like, at the time, it's not like I could stream and watch anime all the time. So it was one of the first animes I can get my hand on. So of course I just latched onto it, and I liked it because I liked Outlaw Star too, which it kind of gave me those kind of feels.
So now that we've had a 15-minute intro, So we're gonna go into the history. So Cowboy Bebop is a 1998 Japanese anime television series animated by Sunrise, featuring a production team led by director Shinichiro Watanabe, screenwriter Keiko Nobumoto, and character designer Toshihiro Kawamoto, mechanical designer Kimitoshi Yamane, and composer Yoko Kano. The 26-episode season, they're also known as sessions, so when the title card plays, it says session 1, session 2, that type of stuff, is set in the year 2071.
5 years before Vault 76.
Are set in the year 2071 and follow the lives of a bounty hunter crew traveling on their spaceship called Bebop. Cowboy Bebop explores philosophical concepts, which we're going to get into a little later. It is, like I said, 26 episodes, one feature film, and that feature film takes place between 22 and 23. I actually should have just shown you the movie.
Was it longer than 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Then no.
Okay. There are two Cowboy Bebop manga series that have been released. The first manga series is titled Cowboy Bebop Shooting Star, and it was serialized from October 1997 before the anime series release, up until July in 1998, and it was collected into two volumes. And the second manga series was simply titled Cowboy Bebop and written and illustrated by different person, and it was serialized from November 1998 to March of 2000. It was collected into three volumes, and then officially both mangas were licensed by Tokyopop and released in the U.S. or for release in the U.S. There's also a Cowboy Bebop video game that was developed and published by Bandai, and it was released in Japan for the PlayStation in 1998. And there was also a PlayStation 2 video game called Cowboy Bebop Suyoku no Serenade, and that was released in Japan in 2005. There were thoughts of re-releasing it for a U.S. audience, but then Bandai Namco merged, and that kind of just didn't happen.
Back in the day when we made video games over everything.
Yes.
And now we only have, like, 5.
Yes. So, Cowboy Bebop was Watanabe's first project as a solo director, as he had been a co-director in almost all of his previous works. His original concept was for a movie, and during production, he treated each episode as a miniature movie. His main inspiration for Cowboy Bebop was from Lupin the Third, and that anime is a crime series that follows on the exploits of the titular character, Lupin. I love Lupin the Third, so
Me too!
Yeah, it's so good. And Matt, yeah, you would hate it because of the animation.
Yeah, it's problematic as hell, but still good.
Oh yeah. So while the original dialogue of the series was kept clean to avoid any profanities, its level of sophistication was made appropriate to adults in a criminal environment. Watanabe described Cowboy Bebop as 80% serious story with 20% humorous touch. The comical episodes were harder for the team to write than the serious ones, but though several events in them seemed random, they were all carefully planned in advance. So, any questions on the history?
Huntrick actually lasts longer than this.
Oh my god, Matt. No. I'll tell you why it only lasted 26 seasons, though. So, before we get into the story, I'm going to talk a little bit about our characters. The main one, our main guy, is Spike Spiegel. Spike is a heavy smoker and is frequently seen smoking despite the rain as well, or with no smoking signs behind him. He's a skilled martial artist who practices Jeet Kune Do. Does anybody know what Jeet Kune Do is?
I'm assuming you're going to tell us, but no.
Yes, it's the martial art style that Bruce Lee invented.
Got it.
He also follows the philosophies of Bruce Lee, which Bruce Lee developed in conjunction with his martial art style. In his younger days before joining the Bebop, Spike was a part of the Red Dragon Syndicate, a Chinese criminal organization. And during his time there, he was impetuous and volatile. But after leaving, he became a calm and collected character with a love for combat. While holding little value in money or justice, he always holds true to his own sense of values and fulfills his own obligations first. So he's a guy that's focused on honor and not necessarily about justice or even getting paid. If it's going to make him feel good, he's going to do it. He also generally goes his own way rather than following orders, and this is usually what gets him to trouble and leads him to not getting their bounties. There are three things, and this is one of his quotes, there are three things I really hate: kids, animals, and women with attitudes. And this is going to come into play as I talk about the rest of the characters. Watanabe also purposely tried to make him uncool so that it would have the opposite effect on viewers. So Spike he fumbles around quite a bit. He really doesn't have, like, it's this weird thing, because, like, I read that and I didn't know how to take it because I've always seen Spike as, like, the cool guy.
Yes.
But he's, like, the cool guy who doesn't want to be the cool guy or doesn't realize he's a cool guy.
He's not trying to be cool.
Yes, he just is. So the original piece of the crew with him was Jet Black. And Jet Black is a former ISSP officer with a heart of gold, and he's the voice of reason for the crew. He has an arm which he purposely replaced with a cybernetic limb, and he did this in order to remember not to rush into situations because of what can come of them. He was a former cop with ISSP, and there was so much corruption that he ended up being at odds with them. There are episodes that go into this. But essentially he chose to have a lasting reminder of all the consequences that his actions have. Jet also considers himself something of a Renaissance man, so he cultivates bonsai trees, he cooks, he enjoys jazz and blues music. He actually named his ship the Bebop, referring to a type of jazz music, especially Charlie Parker, and even has interest in Goth. As a character, Jet is pretty much the quintessential Oyaji, and that is the dad character in anime. Even though he often tells people to call him brother, or more of a brotherly figure, because he doesn't want to seem old, which is also, it goes into that trope of the dad. So next we have Faye Valentine, the woman with the attitude. Although appearing to be no more than 23 years old, Faye is actually around 77 years old, having been put into cryogenic freeze after a space shuttle accident, wherein she spent 54 years in suspended animation. It pretty much, she wakes up in 2071, or I think she wakes up 3 years prior, so like it's like 2068 or something like that. And it ends up leaving her with amnesia. She has no idea of her past, and she is one of the only people in this new world that has no past, because she ended up being frozen in that accident prior to the discovery of a lot of the technology, where they started pretty much storing their memories and stuff like that, so that if you did get amnesia or you were found dead, they could place you with somebody by scanning a barcode on the back of your neck. She didn't have that, so she's like the only person in the world who does not know who she is. She's also a big gambler, and so she is in extreme debt, and that's one of the reasons why she comes to the Bebop.
So if you could be suspended in animation for like 50 years, would you do it?
No, because I don't believe you're gonna like last 50 years.
Okay.
If you can guarantee we'll be back in 50 years, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to wake up in 50 years.
I think it'd be fun.
Does anybody else want to be suspended in animation?
Nah.
Only if it's like I'm Fry and I get to wake up 1,000 years in the future.
I'll die when I die. I don't know what people are going to do to my body while I'm asleep. Experiment on it, inject it. I don't know. I just feel like that's what's gonna happen.
It was not where I was going with that question, but
no, I know. But I'm like, I have to think three steps ahead. Like, I'm going too far. Continue, Kate.
Wait, no, Matt. Do you?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, Nisha.
Yeah,
the only person who said no. How does that make you feel?
Fine.
Okay. Going through as so Faye Valentine is a really, really sexy character. She's wearing like hot pants and a super revealing shirt. She's extremely sexual, but ultimately in the entirety of the show, she can handle herself. She displays really powerful punches. She fights. She looks forward to fighting. She's extremely adept at fighting. She's even stood her ground against Spike in a dog, an aerial dog fight that they had in her ship called the Red Tail. And she has come out kind of in a draw. I think she's only lost him once, and that was because she just stopped because of her ship. But she is extremely adept. She also excels with guns. And she ultimately goes from a loner to a family member over the course of the show. The next character is Edward Wong, and she is the kid. Also known as Radical Edward, she is very strange, somewhat androgynous teenage girl, claiming to be about 13 years old, but there's no way you can really know for sure. She is essentially a free spirit and is fond of silly exclamations and childish rhymes and is easily distracted. She also has a habit of drifting off from reality sometimes in mid-sentence, and is the show's primary source of comic relief. Ed's generally carefree attitude and energy act as a counterpoint to the more solemn and dark aspects of the show, and this is one of two characters that was based on a real-life person. Her personality was based off of the composer for the show, Yoko Kanno, who kind of had that type of attitude. But Edward just isn't weird. She's also an extreme hacker. She is insanely smart, and in her debut episode, she ends up communicating with an AI spy satellite and shuts it down, and then Spike and the gang say, oh yeah, we'll pick you up, and then they try to fly away, but she had like essentially hotwired their ship to where she could control it, so she made them come back and get her. So that's pretty cool. She's like the smart but stupid character at the same time. I don't want to say stupid, but like absent-minded, carefree one, but the smartest of all of them. And then there's the animal and the best character of this entire series, Ein, who is a Welsh corgi. And he is brought aboard the Bebop by Spike after a failed attempt to capture a bounty. Ein is referred to as a data dog by the scientist in his debut episode, and he often shows heightened awareness of events going on around him. Over the course of the series, Ein answers the telephone, steals a car, uses the SSW, plays shogi, and operates the Brain Dream gaming device, and generally performs tasks that an average canine would not be able to accomplish, and he can also communicate with other animals. So, like, Ein is essentially, the reason they call him Data Dog is because he has an entire data bank on his brain, and it makes him pretty much, human-level intelligence. So that's kind of like, in the episode you watch, Matt, like, when the ship starts passing, Ein doesn't just jump off to jump off, he jumps off because he knows what's happening, and then gets that guy trapped and then takes Spike off the stick. He knows what he's doing, essentially.
Right.
He's a smart dog and he's a good boy. Any questions about the characters? Inputs? No?
I feel like you covered everything, as far as I know.
See, you're doing it all. We're just going to let you keep talking, Kate.
No.
Well, that's what happens when you write. Oh, wait, this thing's 9 pages long?
It's because of the boat Wylos.
Okay.
You don't have to go into the main story.
Again, I mean, I guess one thing about Faye I do want to say is that why, like, I don't understand, like, the people who put into cryogenic sleep, why didn't they, like, save her identity?
And so, like, yeah, so that is answered. Okay. So, essentially, Faye's backstory is that she was on a ship with her parents, and it was a personal ship. And when it blew up, she was the only person who survived. But everything else that was with her was gone. And so they didn't know who she was.
Gotcha.
So basically they just found a container with her in it.
Exactly. And her injuries were too severe to save at that time. So they put her in cryogenic state to then awake her when they could fix her, essentially.
Gotcha. Yep. Okay.
It's like the Ted Williams thing.
Okay, so the main story focuses on Spike and his deadly rivalry with Vicious, an ambitious criminal affiliated with the Red Dragon Syndicate, which is what Spike used to be previously affiliated with. And outside of the main story, you get this episodic story, the kind of episodic story that follows all of this crew, so Faye, Ayn, Edward, Jet, and Spike, as they go after different bounties, with the underlying story arc kind of sitting there. And they each develop as it goes on. Spike and Vicious were once partners and friends, but when Spike began an affair with Vicious's girlfriend, Julia, and resolved to leave the syndicate with her, Vicious sought to eliminate Spike by blackmailing Julia into killing him. Julia goes into hiding to protect herself, and Spike fakes his death to escape the syndicate. In the present, Julia comes out of hiding and reunites with Spike, intending to complete their plan. Vicious, having staged a coup d'etat and taken over the syndicate, sends Hitman after the pair. Julia ends up being killed, leaving Spike alone, and his heartbreak feeds into this desire to kill Vicious once and for all. Spike leaves the Bebop after saying a final goodbye to Faye and Jet. Upon infiltrating the syndicate, he finds Vicious on the top floor of a building and confronts him after dispatching the remaining Red Dragon members. The final battle ends with Spike killing Vicious, only to get mortally wounded in the ensuing confrontation, and the series ultimately concludes as Spike descends the main staircase in the building into the rising sun and falls to the ground. And nobody, I mean, it's ambiguous, so he could live, he could not live. It doesn't show you specifically what happens, but Watanabe conceived the series ending early on, and each episode involving Spike and Vicious was meant to foreshadow their final confrontation. Some of the staff were unhappy about this approach, as a continuation of the series would be difficult. While he considered altering the ending, he eventually settled on his original idea, and the reason for creating the ending was that Watanabe did not want the series to become like Star Trek, with him tied to doing it for years. So it was always only meant to be one season. That's it. That's what he wanted. That's what he got. And so that's why it's just been accepted that Spike dies. It can go either way because there's no concrete proof. But that's pretty much the whole series. And that's why it's only 26 episodes, because Watanabe did not want to do more than that. Because, I mean, there are animes that are like 800 episodes.
Yeah. One Piece.
Looking at you, One Piece.
Even I knew that one.
I'm never watching that all the way through.
Oh, no. I've still never finished Bleach.
So. I think I was introduced to One Piece because somebody said, we should try to watch this. And I was like, there's 306 episodes. I'm not starting this now.
Who has the time?
Nobody.
No one has the time.
They just need to Kai the shit out of all of these animes. Like, I'd watch like a Bleach abridged version. I'm just too far removed from it.
I think all the side arcs in between the main arcs really got to me. And that's when I was just like, I don't know what the hell is part of anything anymore.
The terrible, terrible filler.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even the filler. It was just like, I remember like they literally cut and like, oh, we're at this part. Ichigo, let's go back to this arc.
Oh, like 5 episodes of Uryu going through his story while Ichigo's also going through his story at the same time.
Yeah, and then, like, I remember, like, the weird cuts in between just, like, his sisters discovering they have spirit powers, too, and then, like, that was a whole arc, and I was just like, I can't do this.
This was really a backdoor Bleach episode.
Yeah. Might as well be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I had actually seen all of Cowboy Bebop until I had already, like, they had put it onto different streaming platforms. I had seen the movie. Mm-hmm. With my cousin when it had first come out, because she loved it. She loved Cowboy Bebop, but I never realized that it was only 26 episodes for a while. Because I always just assumed that Adult Swim didn't get all of it, because I knew that there were longer series. Like, Adult Swim never aired the end of Inuyasha and stuff like that.
See, and I think it's kind of like, Watanabe's done this before, like, Samurai Champloo,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, it's technically 2 seasons, but both seasons are pretty short, and the story's still pretty concise. Like, it's not, there's no filler, and I like that about his series, is that he doesn't put a bunch of filler in there, and it's not like he doesn't do a whole mini side arc. Like, he kind of wraps all the stories in together. Yeah. And I think 26 episodes is perfect for an anime. I mean, I do like some of my anime with, like, you know, like My Hero Academia, that needs to be a long run. Whereas, like, this one doesn't. Cowboy Bebop did not have to go beyond 26 episodes. I think it wraps up everything nicely. I hate that it's like, okay, we have to accept Spike is dead. because I think I don't want characters to be dead that I want to be alive.
No, I completely agree. And there's a lot of reasons that people fell in love with the series, and some of them are because of the characters and the story, and a lot of them are also because of the soundtrack.
So before we get to that,
yeah,
I will say this. One, kind of like you, I always thought, I just always knew there was Cowboy Bebop on and stuff, and then when you told me there are 26 episodes, I'm kind of disappointed now that there's only, like, 26 Why? Episodes, because I'm like, I guess I assumed this thing was, like, much longer. Like this,
because it was not always on?
Yes, it was like maybe not like a One Piece where I need 800 episodes, but I figured it'd be like, you know, at least like in the, like 100.
Oh no.
No.
I can't even imagine that.
It's also this weird thing too, so like shonen, shoujo, anything geared towards a younger audience is going to be with episodes in the hundreds. I think the genre is called shonen. I need to get that pronunciation.
But it's also one of those, like, but people talk about this show all the time. And so I'm like, well, why are we talking about this if it's literally only 26 episodes?
Because it was an extremely good show.
Also, every time it ended, it would just be back on from the beginning.
Yep.
Every time. And it never took a break. It's just back at it.
Yeah. And, like, ultimately, like, more mature anime does wrap up after one season. One or two seasons. Two seasons, if you're lucky. Shonen runs forever. It's just insane how long those runs are.
Well, because the same thing with, like, Sailor Moon. You're like, oh, there's only, like, two seasons or whatever they were trying to do.
They got weird stuff, though. Yeah. Sailor Moon is technically, like, five... Like, the way they structure their seasons is weird. Because you have Sailor Moon proper, Sailor Moon R, Sailor Moon Star, Sailor Moon Super S... And those are all the same story being continued, but instead of doing season two, they did an entire different name. But it's all one story. Like, you have to watch them sequentially. Otherwise, you don't understand
it. Yeah, but still, how many episodes did we have throughout all of Sailor Moon anyways?
Hey, it's about 100.
Was it 100?
It's gotta be 100.
Yeah, it's like it's either 100 or a little under 100. Okay. And then they had about 5-6 movies.
I was thinking it was only maybe in the 50s or 60s.
I think it's.
I know we did it, but it was like such a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't even know how many there are. It's
Isn't Inuyasha like 50?
Inuyasha's 64.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's 54 and then 20 something for the final act.
Yeah, but that's like both of those are standard for that kind of anime.
Yeah, there's only... Oh, no, it's season
There's 167 episodes to 200 episodes.
Okay.
Of Sailor Moon.
Oh. Wow, okay.
Yeah, it lasted a short time, but, like, this is, like, the total Sailor Moon. This is just Sailor Moon 1.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So, like, each season has... Like, each thing has, like, 46 or 60 of them in it, and then they have, like, a total... Yeah, and then you also have Sailor Moon Crystal now, which adds new stuff.
Fine.
In,
I wasn't even including that one per se.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah. But you will find with more mature anime, they do tend to do 1 to 2 season runs. Nobody has that time when they're 30. Mm-mm. Granted, I binge a lot of stuff, so I guess I do. Okay, so. As much as people love the story and the characters, they also love the soundtrack. So the music for Cowboy Bebop was composed by Yoko Kanno and her band The Seatbelts. Kanno performed blues and jazz with her band, and they ended up making it all for the series. So everything you hear in the series is specifically made for it. And according to Kanno, the music was one of the first aspects of the series to actually begin production, before most of the character, story, or animation had even been finalized. The genres used for its composition were Western, opera, and jazz. Watanabe noted that Kanno did not score the music exactly as he had told her to, and he stated, "She gets inspired on her own, follows up on her own imagery, and comes to me saying, 'This is a song we need for Cowboy Bebop,' and composes something completely on her own." Kanno herself was sometimes surprised at how pieces of her music were used in the scenes, and sometimes wished that they had been used elsewhere. But she never found that any of the uses of the music was inappropriate. Watanabe further explained that he would take inspiration from Kano's music after listening to it in order to create scenes, new scenes, and new stories from it. These new scenes, in turn, would inspire Kanno and give her new ideas for the music, and she would come to Watanabe with even more music. Watanabe cited, as an example, some songs in the second half of the series, we didn't even ask her for the songs. She just made them and brought them to us. He commented that while Kano's method was normally unforgivable and unacceptable in animation... It was ultimately a big hit with Cowboy Bebop, and Watanabe described his collaboration with Kano as a game of catch between the two of us, developing the music and creating the TV series. And to me, that's really cool because it kind of reminds me of the Marvel method that we talked about in our Steve Ditko episode, where Steve Ditko drew the panels and drew the comic book, and then Stan Lee wrote the stories, or whoever he was working with. And because that was the Marvel method, you had the art first and then you put in the words. And I haven't heard of this happening with animation before. You can at me if it has. But the fact that the reason that the soundtrack sticks with so many people is because the soundtrack is the core of what it seems to be the core of what the series is. And then you even have song titles like Bohemian Rhapsody and Asteroid Blues and like just everything that is music related. Since the series broadcast, Kano and the Seatbelts have released 7 original soundtrack albums, 2 singles and extended plays. As you'll see in the fan but why those, the opening of the show is described as one of the best in all anime. And this is pretty much what has been said about it. The seeds for the score from Kano about how she made this. The seeds for the score were sown in middle school and high school when I was a member of a brass band. I wanted to play brass music that shook your soul, made your blood boil, made you lose it. The yearning became Tank, which was the opening theme. I wanted to make music which would light a fire in me when I played it. And the intro for Cowboy Bebop, I don't know if you liked it, Matt, but that is an iconic song. And it's one, I think that and like maybe 2 other anime themes are what I think about. Like if it comes on, I know exactly what anime it's from. And it has like a really special place in my heart.
Yeah, I was watching one of the episodes, like kind of like in the background while I was grading papers, like during lunch the other day, and like someone like popped their head in, was like, that Cowboy Bebop, and it was like just the intro. So like the intro is like definitely, I agree, Kate, like one of the most iconic in terms of like anime itself.
Did you like the music?
I mean, it was there. I mean, I didn't think it was like iconic, I guess, and didn't like resonate, I guess, with me. But I don't think it was bad or anything.
And I think one of the reasons too that it's iconic is that it's Western, right? It's jazz in anime, and a lot, even some of like the darker animes, still have that J-poppy feel to them. And that's just how animes get introed. Even like some of like the really deep Fullmetal Alchemist songs are still J-pop songs. But this was different, and it was mostly instrumental, and it was heavy. I'm sure somebody's going to at me with, like, a list of songs that are Western that start animes, but...
But yeah, the music's really good. It's distinct, right? Like,
yeah.
I can't think of another anime that has, like, again you're probably going to get added by people, but like, I can't think of any off the top of my head that have this kind of music style to it.
What about Anisha?
Straight bangers, as the kids would say.
I think it is, it's like very, I think there's their process of how she would compose it and then give it to them as unique, like Kate was talking about. But it's like, I just remember some of the most memorable scenes, like the fight scenes especially. I can just imagine some of the music from them, like in my brain.
Yeah.
And that's like some of my favorite things about it. It's just like the fight scenes with the music.
Yeah. No, I agree there too. Another one of the but why those is genre. And this is a fan but why though, because it's an anime that transcends, melds, and builds its own genre, which was Watanabe has been on record saying was his purpose. So Cowboy Bebop was the cornerstone of Adult Swim's golden era of anime, as we talked about, was started in 2001 and went on to influence a myriad of media outside of anime, specifically Firefly, which I'll talk about a little bit later.
Some that also got canceled after one season?
Yeah. Well, this didn't get canceled.
Okay, my bad. Lasted one season.
That one got canceled. But, like, if you watch Firefly, like, rewatching Cowboy Bebop, like, this past week, I've been like, oh, shit, Firefly is pretty much this. Just this.
Yeah, not wrong.
Oh, for sure.
It also influenced, I know, we have our issues with Rian Johnson, but it did influence Rian Johnson's Brick, which was his first movie. Brick is an amazing movie. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It's a noir crime drama in a high school. It's on Netflix. I highly recommend people watch it. But that's been cited it. That's been cited as an inspiration for it. I don't know if Firefly has been confirmed as inspiration, but everything about Firefly is Cowboy Bebop. Just like taken to the upteenth level in a weird way. The era showed American audiences that anime could be mature. That anime could mature into something more complex than simplistic beat-em-up stories. And this is a quote, like, they call, and I don't necessarily agree with it entirely, but it really helps solidify anime as an art form and as telling, like, way deeper stories. This is, like, a really high generalization. You know, there are very deep things in shonen, but shonen and shoujo are introduced for teenagers, preteens and teenagers, and so ultimately the bar of storytelling is different, and for a lot of Western audiences, just because Western audiences don't like giving high status to animation, that's what they were lumping anime in with. So in the same way that Akira can be seen as a movie that launched stuff for the US in like a movie bracket, among our generation, Cowboy Bebop is what did that. In letting us know that there was something after just watching shonen. There was something also happening. And the show is a hybrid of things like comedy and detective capers and action and sci-fi and westerns and film noir. It's equal parts John Way and Philip K. Dick. In a lot of cases, and the director himself says that Spike is a blend of Enter the Dragon, Dirty Harry, and Blade Runner. And that's how he's run everything. And if you don't know, Enter the Dragon is a Bruce Lee movie. Dirty Harry, obviously, Dirty Harry, and Blade Runner. So.
You not know those people?
Clint Eastwood and Harrison Ford.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So Spike is Bruce Lee, Clint Eastwood, and Harrison Ford all in one.
And he tried to make him uncool?
Yeah. I don't understand. It was in the quote. So the series makes specific references or pastiches to multiple films, and a pastiche is kind of like a parody without being a clear parody, so they're not necessarily making fun of it so much as replicating it in a different sense. It can be a parody and can be comedic, but it's also as an homage too, including the works of John Woo, Bruce Lee, Midnight Run, 2001 A Space Odyssey, Alien in one of my favorite episodes. The episode is called Toys in the Attic, and essentially Spike leaves a lobster in a refrigerator for a year, and it grows into this weird thing that starts attacking people on the ship. And it's great.
So how did it grow into this thing for a year?
It's because it was on Ganymede. It was like a local Ganymede food that when he put it in the fridge and it like did it, it ended up growing a new thing inside it.
Yeah. So was it like alive? It mutated.
No, it was dead. But like essentially you have it closed in a container. It's essentially like,
so it grew mold and bacteria.
Yeah, and then it turned into a thing.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. You said just like he put a lobster in there and all of a sudden it like
became, well, it like, decayed and shit lobster. Over a year. It was, no, it wasn't a super lobster. It was like a proto life form thing. It was weird. It was cool though, and it's Toys in the Attic if you want to watch it. The series also includes excessive references and elements from science fiction, bearing strong similarities to cyberpunk fiction, and several planets and spaces. Several planets and space stations in the series are made in Earth's image. The streets of celestial objects such as Ganymede resemble a modern port city, while Mars features shopping malls, theme parks, casinos, and cities. Cowboy Bebop's universe is filled with video players and hyperspace gates, ecopolitics, Faradown, spaceships, Native American shamans as well, and the setting has been described as one part Chinese diaspora and two parts Wild West. I said Wild West, but Wild West. Like the first episode takes place in Tijuana. And ultimately, outside of the ones that I already mentioned, also Orson Scott Card, the writer for Ender's Game, also praised the series and used it as inspiration. When it comes to what makes it Western, so what makes it sci-fi is obviously that it's in space, it is in a future, and it deals, you see how people use technology. And what makes it a Western is that there isn't a choice for Spike ultimately. And one of the most common storytelling things in a Western is called the Dead Man's Walk. And that's from Peter French. And essentially the Dead Man's Walk is that person is doomed from the start. And you, as the show progresses, you realize that that's what it is. It also, Westerns focus on, like, they're not necessarily heroes, they're more anti-heroes, and that they have their own code of honor, and not so much on moral quandaries. It's all about personal wrongs and not heroics, and Westerns go heavily in with Ronin films, so these are the samurai movies, like Seven Samurai and Akira Kurosawa, who is one of the leading directors of Ronin films, and those go really straight with Westerns. It's also influenced by noir. He, essentially, there's this idea that he could be dreaming. He wonders that when he survived the explosion, when he was trying to escape with Julia, if it was, like, if all of it's a dream. So he mentions it multiple times, that this could just be a dream, and Matt kind of, like, the Archer stuff. It's, like, a common trope in film noir. And then once Julia dies, he kind of accepts that he's alive, but he also starts his really self-destructive, but also like, okay, well, it is real, so now I have to do something about it. One of the biggest things that leads us into noir is Faye herself. She's clearly a femme fatale. She derives her power from her sexuality. She's extremely intelligent and ahead of her team all the time, and she's an active player in the story, which a lot of people give femme fatales a bad rap, but ultimately the femme fatale was a trope that was the first time women were allowed to be active in their stories. Before that, they were just there. They were just showpieces. And ultimately, Faye is the only character that changes substantially from the moment she gets on the Bebop to the moment she leaves the series. One of the other really important things about Cowboy Bebop is essentially every character fails. Nothing they do goes as planned. Like, they're living on this falling apart ship. They're constantly poor. They struggle, and they each have their own trauma, but in spite of that, they end up loving each other and building this bond.
And you just summarized Firefly.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, look at the character tropes. They're the exact same thing, Jesus. Too. It's all Firefly. Which is actually, so I found a subreddit that is just called Firefly versus Cowboy Bebop, and it's just people talking about how Josh Whedon ripped off Firefly from Cowboy Bebop.
I kind of, like,
into the intricacies.
Yeah, I kind of go back through my rewatch. Like, I was thinking, and I'm glad that you made that it's like an actual thing, and I wasn't just losing my mind. I was like, holy moly, this just feels like I'm watching Firefly, but animated, and more animated fight scenes, and more dogs.
If you look at the designs of the ship, the ship looks very similar to Serenity.
The ship looks really like the Serenity.
Yeah, the use of Chinese diasporic imagery and storytelling also there. It's a space Western. The character types are all there as well. It's just,
you got some explaining to do, Jess.
Yeah. No, like, I realized, I still love Firefly for what it is, but after, like, doing this rewatch and stuff, I was like, oh gosh, this isn't as original as I thought it was. Being completely honest.
Like most things in this world.
Yeah.
You will reach a point where nothing is actually unique eventually.
Yeah. Well, see, like, that's, I'm fine if it's, like, influenced by it, but rewatching it, it's, like, it's it.
Yeah.
It is.
It's different if it was paying homage to it, but it's pretty much, like, is it? No.
And from what I could find, Joss Whedon has never once acknowledged Cowboy Bebop in it. Like, people watching the two have.
Yeah, we got Reavers and more political squabbling. There's no way this is the same. Joss Whedon, probably.
The big takeaway from Cowboy Bebop and its centralizing failure in its storytelling is just that, like, we're all broken. every person on that strip is on the Bebop is broken in some way. They have some trauma as a piece of them, and you have characters like Spike who choose to ignore it and not deal with that piece. And essentially the takeaway in a character like Faye is that you have to fix yourself. Unless you accept it, it's not going to happen. Ultimately, the cool thing is that Spike's last name, Spiegel, actually means mirror in German. And it was purposely done to help put the audience into Spike's shoes. Or make Spike the character that the audience would see themselves in. It's how we develop, and it's how we develop with our trauma and how we cope with it that helps us grow, and it's the same thing for the characters. Unless you're Spike, who runs head-on in the suicide mission into his past and refuses to let it go and ends up dying, probably.
He did.
Yeah. Do y'all have anything to say on that?
So, sorry, I had a thought and it's gone. Sorry. No, I mean, like, I think that's why I like the show so much, because I have a thing about characters that are damned if they do and damned if they don't.
Yeah.
Like, I relate to characters that are flawed, and I think it's, like, sometimes when you watch anime, like Sailor Moon, like, she's got hella flaws, but, she also... they also come out, like, on top as, like, a Mary Sue, whereas, like, yeah. I like the Bebop crew because Ed doesn't know where her dad is or her where she's from or anything. Faye has lost her memory, and, like, you're right, she goes through a whole transformation. I think she becomes a better person for it.
Yeah.
And Spike is just really self-destructive, and he doesn't care if he dies. Like, he puts himself in, like, the most dangerous situations. And, like, I think Jet's just there trying to make sure everybody doesn't die.
Pretty much.
But it's like, they're still a unit and they're functioning to a point. But I like how relatable that is, that we're all flawed and we all fail sometimes, but you just gotta keep trucking along.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of people have talked about this too, when it comes to philosophy, which is the next fan, but why, or the next. Which is the next but why, though, is the show's philosophy. And I'll include these two video essays in the show notes of the episode, so you can watch them in full. But they talk about how essentially this show is an accurate depiction of the human race, in meaning that, like, we'll do anything we can to find meaning in the meaningless. And every single one of these characters' purpose is... there's no purpose. They don't know what to do. Like, Spike says it multiple times, like, I'm just, whatever happens happens, man, like, just go with it. There's nothing needed behind this. It's survival, it's getting money to get food and not just eat beef and peppers. And there's nothing beyond it, but each member of that crew wants to go beyond it, with the exception of Spike, until he finds Julie again, and he has to he goes on his self-destructive suicidal mission. But ultimately, like, we typically only have one goal in our minds, and finding that one connection that makes us feel whole. And everything up to that point is devoid of any true meaning. Our characters in the show want to feel connected and avoid the truth that their only objective is simply waiting for confrontation with whatever spawned the emptiness that they feel. And that's directly from the video essay that I watched. And I thought it was really powerful because, like, they're just constantly confronting the trauma and the loneliness, which is another major theme in Cowboy Bebop. Every single person on that ship has been alone for one reason or another. And it's them coming together that makes it important. And when you break down, like, the way people are, so Spike is the existentialist. He believes, as, you know, Meisler talks about it, through a combination of awareness, free will, and personal responsibility, he can construct his own meaning within the world. And intrinsically, the world is nothing. So the world is only what he does. And that's what existentialism is. It's that we control every single piece around us, and there's no purpose if we're not in it, essentially. Faye's the nihilist, and this also goes into the noir trope as well. She believes that not only is there no intrinsic meaning to the universe, but it's also pointless to try and construct your own as a substitute for it. It's like she's a gambler who only believes in luck. Jet is the absurdist, the quickest to laugh. He believes that a search for meaning is inherently in conflict with the actual lack of meaning, but that one should both accept this and simultaneously rebel against it, embracing what life has to offer. He just embraces life as it is. That's it. And ultimately, the show ends up looking from this Taoist sense. So Shang Tzu said, the most trivial actions attach the devotion and mindfulness of 100 monks. To matters of life and death, attach a sense of humor. Which is just like the show constantly focuses on these small, tiny things, and it makes them look bigger. And then when you see Spike in the face of, you know, life or death issues, it's almost light. And it's really weird. It just has this really great balance. I don't know if any of y'all have anything to say on, like, the philosophy of Cowboy Bebop, but it was something that I found, like, it came up a lot when I was doing the research for this.
I've only watched one episode.
What is the philosophy of Ayn?
He's a dog.
Yeah, I mean, I just... Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I never really thought about it in that perspective, and it makes me want to kind of... Like, sick. I have a series. Does he have a series of, like, all the anime characters, like all the anime shows? I would definitely, like, love to go back and watch that. But it just makes me rethink who's my favorite character on this show by, like, looking at it from this perspective.
Yeah.
So I look forward to watching that video, and I hope we put it in the show notes so everyone can see it.
Yes.
So who is everybody's favorite character?
Ooh, that would have been a good question to ask.
Well, Matt, you get yeah.
now. I was going to ask it, but I didn't want to, like, put us into, like, a whole thing, and then Matt yell at us for going over time. So
but Matt
ask.
Asked
but
it.
I like Jet.
Spike, then... Ah, damn. Spike, because obviously I have a crush on Spike. Faye is my true favorite. And then Ed. No, Ed, then Faye. It changes, damn it. Sorry.
By obligation, Ayn, because I love that good boy. Truly Faye. Because she has the most growth. It's amazing. It's not that I don't love Spike. I think Spike is one of the best anime protagonists. Probably in all the anime I've watched. But when it comes to, like, somebody who true, like, the fact that Spike doesn't grow, which is a part of his character, and it's great. I don't see a lot of, like, pieces that I identify with it, which, I mean, ultimately, like, I think if I get out of my own head, I probably identify with Spike more because I don't change a lot of my behavior. But I love Faye. I've always loved Faye. I've always wanted Spike and Faye to be together.
Same. Yeah, they should have.
But yeah.
I will say I also chose Spike because of the one most relatable line that's ever been in anime. He's wearing a puffy winter coat and he yells, "Do I look like I have money?"
Yes.
And that is what I am internally yelling all the time, when, no matter what. I'm just cold, and I don't have money. But for real, I mean, Ed is probably one of my most favorite characters in all anime, because I think it was something for me, because I love space, I love sci-fi, and it was just something to see, like, this little brown girl who's, like, super weird, but creative, and just, like, I don't know, she wasn't, like, most teenage anime girls.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, she's super smart, and she's just, like, super unique, and she's in space, and she's doing all these computer hacky things. Like, she's the smartest character in the whole show.
Yep.
And I just, but, like, no one understands half the crap she says. And I love her design, like, how she's so androgynous.
Yeah, because, like, there's, like, in her, like, main episode, they're like, oh, she's an alien, she's a boy, she's this, she's that, and they don't know what she is because she's kind of, like, built up this reputation for for herself. And I think the other thing, one of the things that's really cool about Bebop, and it's one of the reasons that I like watching a lot of sci-fi, it's one of the reasons why I loved Altered Carbon, is the way that it builds its world is, like, everybody is so connected, and people are just there. it's an extremely diverse universe, which you don't really find in anime a lot. And it's the way it's treated is like you'll have street signs in 10 different languages on one street going different ways for different areas. And it's all just kind of mixing together. And it's one of the reasons that I love the Altered Carbon world a whole bunch. And I just think it's really well done. And I didn't get to, I didn't mention that, but I probably should have. It's also one of the things that makes it unique in anime.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I know you guys said we're running short on time, but that's something like I really have loved about it too, is just like the concept of, so obviously people, like there's the Chinese syndicate. So we know like the is it Red Dragon?
I'm
like,
Red Dragon.
Okay. Red Dragons. So like, obviously there's still nationality in space, but at a certain point, because most people don't live on Earth anymore and they've gone to other colonies, it's like some people are like, oh, I'm a Martian, because like some people live on Mars.
Yeah.
Or it's like, it gets to a certain point where it's, I think this was an argument like, when the live action was announced, when people were like talking about like, well, who's going to play Spike? And then like people were like, well, or like it was about Ed, I think actually, where people were saying like, well, what is Ed? And nobody knows the answer to what most of these characters' nationalities are, because it's so diverse. And it's not like, I mean, on our show, we've had this discussion too, when it comes down to characters and live actions and who should play who and like being appropriate. And it's kind of like one of those things where like, I like that it's really diverse. Like you said, they go to a planet like Jupiter and it's like all the shit's going on.
Yeah. Cause like Jet identifies as Ganymedean because he's from Ganymede. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then you have, I think ultimately Faye says that she's Romani, but I think they show her as actually being from Singapore. Mm-hmm. And then I've always seen Spike as, like, a white dude.
Yeah. Always. And his last name is Spiegel. Yeah. So I think it's assumed that, like, he has some kind of German roots. Yeah. But then some people are like, Spike's Asian. And I just, like, I guess there's not...
There's nothing. Like, there's no, like... And we'll kind of get into this context that there's been some news that have come out. But it's, like, it's one of those things where, like, this is an anime that, like, is so different and so out. Like, anybody can literally be anything. Ed, so long as you have a brown person playing Ed, because that's the only thing you know about Ed, because Ed made up her name.
Yeah.
Her name is Edward Wong, but you don't even know if that is remotely close to who she is.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, what's her full name?
Oh my god.
It's so fun to say. To look
some
that up.
Craziness. Look, that's why they did it. They gave her like a crazy long name, so like you can just put, you know,
anybody
close enough in there.
Who decided that was a good enough name to make four of them?
I don't know.
Well, her dad, but then, like, I know this because I just watched the episode last night of where she meets up with her dad again. Yeah. And her dad is just as goofy as he is.
She is. Yeah, entirely. And I didn't know this. Her actual name is Francois Appledelphi. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. And the... I thought it was funny because the dad doesn't even, he's like, oh my, thank you for looking after my son. Yeah. And they're like, oh wait, or daughter. I'm like, God, you are a terrible father. Worse than Goku.
Well, probably. but it's also one of those things too, where it's like, Ed is really fluid. So I've actually, when I was reading like a lot of things, like Faye's the person who says that she's a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Ed is just kind of like, eh, I'm here.
Ed doesn't even care.
And so if you look at a lot of the like the newer articles that come out on it, because Cowboy Bebop had its 20th in April for its 20-year anniversary, so there was a lot of articles on it. They just use they when they write. But it's, yeah. Canonically she, but it changes depending on who she's talking to. The other fun fact I had was that Spike is voiced by Batman. Steve Bloom, who is Batman in the Arkham Asylum games.
And the new Batman. I thought you were talking about.
I was like, out of all the Batmans, not Kevin Conroy, that is not the Batman.
Or Troy Baker, but Steve Bloom.
I thought you were talking about Kevin Conroy. I was just like, wait.
Right, there's Kevin Conroy, there's Will Arnett, there's Troy Baker.
Steve Bloom, who is doing the new Batman movies and the Arkham Asylum series.
There's
the
another one, actually, that I can't think of who he is.
Besides Vegeta.
Out of all the Batmans, Steve Bloom was not the one I was thinking of.
Well, whatever.
He has an iconic voice in anime, for sure.
He is. He's an extremely iconic voice in anime.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten about, like, because I've been watching so much sub that I forgot, like, once I heard Spike speak, I was like, oh, he's everywhere. He was also the Toonami voice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
And Mugen and Samurai Champloo, which I always love the theory that Mugen is the ancestor of Spike somehow.
Oh, I love that theory, because they're pretty much the same character.
Absolutely the same. Both self-destructive and have dark past.
Yep. So if you don't know, Cowboy Bebop, if you want another great anime in the same vein as Cowboy Bebop, but based in feudal era, or Edo? Is it Edo or feudal? It's one of the two.
Samurai Champloo is just like a Western also.
Yeah.
Like this one.
So Samurai Champloo is really cool in that it is highly spaghetti Western, highly Ronin, and then highly comedy. And in the same way that, like, and Watanabe's behind that as well. And so ultimately, one of the core things about Samurai Champloo is the music as well. Yes. And in the same way that Cowboy Bebop uses Western music, like opera and jazz, Samurai Champloo uses hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool.
Awesome fighting scenes.
Oh, so good. And just on the voices, like, I was trying to figure out, like, where to put it, but I think there's, like, the good spice as any. I think Cowboy Bebop is one of the few animes where, like, the dub is better than the sub, and I think that's, like, universally known, just because the dub is just so good, and mainly because of the voice actors in it.
I did try the sub once, and I will say that I just did not care for the voices, and I think it's, like you said, they're just very iconic.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy because we talk about the voice actors, and we did basically the, what was that stupid food movie? What was the stupid food?
I don't even remember.
The one with Seth Flavors Gordon?
Of Youth. Yes, the Flavors of Youth, and basically Kate tried to blame the voice actors for such bad thing until we looked up who the actual voice actors were, and she was like, oh my gosh, these are actually the people doing this? This is, like, so weird.
Yeah. Whatever. It's a Patreon exclusive episode. You can go listen to it if you want, Patreon people.
Listen to that. Don't watch the movie.
I think you're right, Adrian. It's just also one of those things I can never watch it in sub. I tried. It was just not good. I don't think you get the same feel. And this may just be because I don't speak Japanese. I'm not a native Japanese speaker, but when you go on to places, like when he's in Tijuana or he's on Mars and you have these interactions with people from multiple cultures and speaking different languages, when I watched it in the sub, you didn't really get the differentiations in accent and speaking, whereas it, you know, to my ears, because I'm an English speaker, but when you watch it in the dub in English, you can tell how many different people are in that one space. Which I think adds to it, which again makes me think of Altered Carbon Future, where, like, people are just jumping in and out of different languages constantly. So finally, the critical response. Critics love it. The word masterpiece gets thrown around a lot for it. I agree. It's the first time a solo director, Watanabe, had created. He ended up creating this gorgeous tale of morality and romance and violence, and it was super dark look at the lives of outlaws, and it is just great overall. I mean, it has an 8.9 rating on IMDb, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 93% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. The movie that they have for it is 65% critic score and 90% audience score. It's extremely highly rated. It won a whole bunch of awards. I didn't include any of the top anime lists because they're all dated past 5 years, and Matt was going to ask me for current ones.
Yeah, he tried to slip some ratings in here from, like, 1990 over here.
Blame Wikipedia. No, but it is constantly in the rankings of top animes and also top anime themes and stuff like that. But finally, one of the reasons that it's super important today is that Altered Carbon anime movie was announced, brought to us by Dai Sato, who worked on Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo, and the fact that Altered Carbon is a sci-fi noir series, I think that it's gonna just go really, really well with this as
okay
with,
so why should I watch wisdom. This over actual Altered Carbon, which is fantastic minus the last 5 minutes,
the anime movie?
Yes,
well, it's gonna be a continuation of the world. It's not a series. it's just, it's added. You don't have to watch it.
Okay.
I want to watch it because I love Daisato and I love anime. And I do want more.
I mean, I loved Altered Carbon, and it was an amazing show, except for the last 5 minutes. And it was probably one of my favorite shows I watched all year.
Anybody who didn't work on the original project was going to come in and write this, Daisato is the guy.
So is anybody from Altered Carbon even on here?
Yes.
Okay. What's what I asked?
Yes.
Okay.
It's being added as like extra material for it.
Okay.
You're essentially gonna, they haven't released too much information, but it's gonna be a continuation of the world outside of our main characters.
I got you, Kate. The 50 best anime series of all time, dated October 4th, 2018. Cowboy Bebop, number one. And that's like out of a lot of really, really good animes. So that's a really, really good list. And it's like a detailed list too. It's not like just a guy picking movies. It looks like it's got some good, good lists, so. Two and three. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood and Neon Genesis.
Evangelion?
Say again?
Evangelion or...
Yeah, Evangelion. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fine with those three.
Yeah.
Definitely fine with those three. Pretty good list. Yeah, that's a good list.
Yeah, I chose Brotherhood. That was the... that's the one that decided.
And then also, Nisha, you already mentioned the live action series, but we finally have a production date for that. It had been talked about for a while, but it is going to start being, it's going to start production in April of 2019, and it is optioned for Netflix right now.
Oh, I hope so. I can't buy another, I'm not buying another streaming service if they try to put this somewhere behind a paywall.
I'm buying the Disney one, so.
Why?
Because Cassian and Loki.
No.
Suddenly, Disney streaming service is real for you now.
I mean, yeah. I've always wanted to buy it.
Do y'all want to go in on a and trade?
Technically, that is illegal.
I'll get so DC Universe. You get Disney.
I mean, we can't say it on here, but if you'd like to work out where we share passwords on things, I'd be fine.
Just edit
with that
part out.
I will.
I need to get a group of people who are down.
If anything. For, like, the purpose of writing and the website, Nisha, we need to share our streaming services.
Oh, my God. It's an expense. It's exactly. A company expense. We figured it out.
Does that mean I get to use CuriosityStream as a company expense?
Are you going to write about it?
Well, I'm not allowed to write about that stuff on our thing.
You mean you can.
What am I going to write about that's really going to be relatable to what our content is?
Brian Cox, popular scientist.
Fun fact about Brian Cox, he was actually a rock star and had a number one hit in Europe. And then he got in a bar fight, and then he just said, I don't really like this lifestyle. I'm going to go be a world-renowned physicist.
And then he was.
Live your dream. Got it. That is literally the new definition of live your dream.
So, like, I have to ask the question, too. You kind of touched on it a little bit, because it's what our other podcast is about. Like, do you think it's going to work? Do you think that a live-action... Cowboy Bebop's gonna work, and also Sunrise, which was the initial studio behind Cowboy Bebop, is also involved in the live action production.
Come on, they're still around.
Yeah,
that's impressive. Yeah. Then
I have more faith in it working out, knowing that they're involved, knowing that Sunrise is involved. Also, it's a completed series. It's not like we talked about this in our earlier episode this week, of just like the issue with the Attack on Titan movie is they didn't know where to go with it, because they didn't know where the story was going at that point with the anime. So I feel like knowing where the story is going with Cowboy Bebop, there's really no excuse to F this up. Looking at you, Avatar, The Last Airbender, there is no excuse to not know what to do with it. Like, they could get three solid seasons out of this. Four if they play their cards right. And I have confidence in it if the right people were behind it. I feel so, I'm selfish saying this, but I want Taika Waititi involved in some aspect. I don't know why. I just feel like he does well with things in space. But
he does do well. We need a genuine sci-fi director.
Exactly. And it's, I mean, that might not just be him, but I mean, maybe get a few different directors to come on board, like what Ava DuVernay does, like bringing on different
people. I think there should be about like a squad of like five. Because like, mm-hmm. I know that, like, because I think that, like, some, I think the Netflix shows have been running through, like, three or five, like, between three and five, with the exception of, like, some series. Like, Haunting of Hill House was one director.
Yeah.
But I think, like, they should definitely bring on different ones.
I know a guy who does a really good cowboy, space cowboy franchise. I think he'd be really good for this.
What, the Navi?
Joss Whedon.
I knew you were going to go there.
No, because this is a lot less on the nose than Firefly is.
Yeah.
I think this is better than Firefly. I think overall, I think it'll work, and I think it'll work mm-hmm. because you're also not constrained by, like, locations or, like,
yeah.
you can have all different types of actors and all different mm-hmm. different types of, like, settings, and, like, it has the potential to work. And I think... Actually, whoever works on Altered Carbon, at least, like, one of those True. Guys. Because it's the same, it fits in that world.
I agree. Like, I mean, after watching Altered Carbon and then watching, like, what happened to Monday, mm-hmm. I don't have a doubt that they won't put out something good that has to do with sci-fi. Like, those are two of my top favorite sci-fi movies.
Sense 8 as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Netflix has been knocking out. So I actually have faith. Netflix has given me faith and stuff. And I also think, too, like, this is when... I think that this is different than, like, Death Note in that... Yeah. They have everything that they can want with producing this in live action. It's also not, like, out there, right? Like, it's science fiction, but we know how to do science fiction. We don't know how to do a giant spirit bomb coming out of somebody's hands. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like... As detached as this world is and how in the future this world is, it still feels real and human, and it's not as extravagant as, like, say, Bleach or something.
If they can do Star Wars for all these years, if they've been able to do Star Wars, they can do a decent Cowboy Bebop TV series.
Yeah.
I have faith. If that is what I'm basing my faith in. So... Let's see if that holds up in, like, 2 years after it's actually out. And I'm excited to see who the cast is and nervous. I'm selfish, and I want Louis Tan to play Spike. But I don't know. Like we said, I feel like it's all... I can see
that. See? He needs some hair.
Right?
Yeah, he needs more hair. But I can see it.
Shoot. He wants to play Spike. And I was just like, yeah, hire that man. Like, let him grow out his hair. But he already has a show on Netflix, too.
John Woo's Assassins.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. He's already got a foot in the door.
Yeah. They had to make up for almost casting him as Iron Fist. That poor man, he scheduled in shooting for the role.
Okay. It's not fair. Yeah. Okay, we're not here for this.
Yeah. Sorry. Adrian, what do you think?
From what I was reading, like, when they first, because they've been saying this for, like, a while, right? Yeah. And the director seems, like, on board, and if they're getting, like, or, like, the original people seem like they were on board, and if they're bringing Sunrise in for it, I'm sure it'll be good, and Netflix has a pretty good track record of putting out, you know, different things. I agree that, like, this anime, I think, will transition well.
Yeah.
It's hard to do Dragon Ball. But I don't think Spirit Bomb is a problem for why Dragon Ball Evolution's terrible.
No, it wasn't. There were many reasons.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You're right.
Have less excuses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, this, mm-hmm. I think this can transition very well, and I think it would take, like, a monumental, like, mess up. Like, I don't know, like a terrible casting decision or something mm-hmm. for them to mess this up, because I think it's very easy to transition, and I just hope that if they do it, they do it in the way that, like, the originators want it to be, and just make it, like, a short series. You don't need to drag this out.
Yeah.
Just let it go, let it hit, and then let it fade away like Cowboy Bebop did in the anime. Yeah.
Three seasons tops.
I mean, and also, like, actually, yeah, Watanabe should just come do some live-action stuff. I don't know if he's done any live-action stuff, but he should just come in and direct it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one more thing to add. I will say that if this was 10 years ago, I don't think this would have worked.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely. I want to just make sure I say that. Like, I think today, with today's technology and with the movies we've had lately, and I'm basing it off of, like, Thor Ragnarok and Star Wars and just, like, like you said, Altered Carbon, I have more faith now. But if this was announced 10 years ago, I would say no.
Yeah. I mean, we got it. It was Firefly.
Yeah, pretty much. That was, what, 20 years ago now?
I say that as a Firefly fan, but...
No.
Okay. So yeah, fan, but why those? From at adult named Rob. This version of the future resonated the most with me because it was how I hoped the future would be. Plus, the characters were complex individuals, which made the show more interesting than most. From at HVH Podcast, that's Home Video Hustle. They're pretty cool. It was the first anime I saw that I actually liked as a kid, so it ended up being my gateway in. From at Karamai93, I mean, I still have the burned CD with all the soundtrack in my soundtracks, and I find myself humming a few dozen songs from it at work. At RM_poet, the first anime I really got into is this one. I never actually watched DBZ or Naruto start to finish, just played the games. From at @_ghost_blurred, it was the biggest influence on my blur journey. I had been unknowingly watching anime my whole life, but this was my gateway into anime, all capital letters. I will forever stan and always recommend. From at TitoTicote85, one of the first animes I ever binged. One of the few animes where the dub is probably better than the sub. I loved how the story got more serious and cohesive at the end. Spike was such a sad character, and I loved how the end was never really made clear. I love this anime. From at Horror Shadows, and this is perhaps the best, but why though? It's all about Ein, the best pupper. I agree. From at RP Cappy, and he gave us a quote from Ed. I think I know, I don't think I know, I don't think I think I know, I don't think I think. That's a great example of how Ed talks.
Yes.
From at Ladies of NY 2, I saw the movie in August, and it was the very first anime movie I had ever seen. From at Dr. Ragnarok, I think it's the perfect blend of Western and science fiction elements, not to mention its great characters, story writing, and music. I don't think any anime character will top Spike Spiegel. From at Sci-Fi Chick 25, music combined with animation in a way that I hadn't heard before. And from Justin at work, because one of my work friends likes anime, and it was the best thing I ever found out about a coworker. This is a paraphrase, because he didn't get his writing to me, but we had a conversation about this, and he essentially said, it's an anime that came out just at the right time. It was different than Dragon Ball Z, and felt real, and showed him that there was a different kind of anime, and specifically that anime could be sci-fi. And then, from at Gatsu083, this is Charles. Thank you so much for submitting this topic for us and supporting us on Patreon.
Thanks for the topic.
Oh my god, man.
Thank you for the topic. Thank you for the support, Charles. As always, you're the best.
Yeah.
You're the best around. Okay. So he says, Cowboy Bebop matters because it's such a pure piece of art. It flows from comedy to drama and back effortlessly without hurting the narrative, which is something no other show has ever succeeded at for me. The backgrounds and stories of the cast are slowly revealed at a percent pace. The use of music to augment the storytelling is unsurpassed in any visual media, is only rivaled by Nier Automata and Star Wars. It is, as it is said, the series that became a genre unto itself. I cannot help but laugh, cheer, and cry whenever I return to the Bebop's Misfit Crew. It is my favorite anime and the best single season of television ever produced, and I will always need it.
You want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay. So I watched the one episode. I'll always be... It ruined my childhood. I can actually legitimately say this because I was a lot younger. In which it ruined my Saturday night.
It ruined your teenagehood.
Whatever. That's all we can do in 2018. I just gotta yell childhood. Doesn't matter what years. But I will say...
I do want to know what years. Because I found Reddit, for whatever reason, put together the list of the Adult Swim lineups from 2001 all the way to 2010. And Cowboy Bebop was always at like the tail end of like all of these, and usually like one or two episodes.
Doesn't matter. It was in there. They're all the same.
It's like at the end. The rest of the stuff is like regular Adult Swim stuff.
Were you up? Like, it was at the end.
I can attest that Matt stays up fucking late.
Okay.
But then they just recycle the show again. So, like, if you just wait 30 minutes, then you get, like, everything else again.
Like, you could deal with Fooly Cooly, but you couldn't watch Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, no, he probably couldn't deal with that either.
The point of the matter was, it was part of the army that destroyed my Saturday night.
Oh, my God.
What was on before Toonami, then, that you wanted to watch?
Well, one, Family Guy, and then King of the Hill, and then Futurama, which was obviously a lot later.
Yeah, because the anime that was earlier. Started at like 10.
Yeah, that was great to fall asleep to.
Okay.
I could not fall asleep to anime. And plus, it was nothing worth watching.
Interesting.
But, okay. Back to my point here. It was obviously a lot better than Akira, which apparently is the other iconic thing that we were told, or I was told, which was awful. So this one wasn't like awful or horrendous or anything.
I just think I showed you a simple episode.
I said it was simple. Was not. Like I said, I don't think it was completely bad. I can at least see why people liked this one. The other movie that you showed me that was supposed to be like revolutionary of anime,
I did not show terrible. You. Ryan showed you that.
Whoever
movie.
Decided that movie was
our
great.
Our awesome patron.
Well, not
Ryan.
Even just him saying like people like were celebrating its 30th year, and I was like, this movie is awful and terrible, and disgrace. And if you like this, I really question you.
You're gonna get so added.
I don't care. But, two, I also liked that this episode proved that I still think Firefly is one of the most overrated things ever, because it actually is pretty good, but the fact people still talk about a 13-episode series that was canceled after 1 year, nobody cares anymore.
Oh,
get
we're
going
to fight, Matt.
Don't care. Really?
Oh, my God.
You like a ripoff at this point. That's all I've gotten. And, see, you ruined my last fact of this. But I think overall, I can see why it was important, the complexity of why people like this, and it was seemed... I mean, the dog was cool. We didn't talk, but it was cool. But I still probably will never go back and actually watch this. But I learned a lot this episode. I don't know how much about Cowboy Bebop versus a lot of other things, but I did learn a lot.
What other things?
Hmm?
What other things, if not Cowboy Bebop?
I told you, Firefly is like one of the most overrated. Oh, that's what it was. I was going to say, Altered Carbon, in the series and whatnot, should be the cartoon or movie, anime movie. I mean, I might check it out. We don't know. As for like the live action thing, I want to say they'll get it right, but then again, Lord of the Rings made an MMO and it was horrendous, and they had everything laid out for them to be perfect.
Oh yeah.
So they're not going to hold my breath.
Yeah. I will say this, and I think it's just because Nisha and I have been watching so many live action adaptations. There is a curve. Like, this later tail end is better. Like, Bleach is good.
It's kind of like what Nisha said, it's technology, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, technology, and I think people are actively learning from the failures that came, like, that were before them. Like,
well, I mean, like, 10 years ago was Dragon Ball Evolution. I think they just, like, realized that people give a shit, that you can't just, like, put out a shitty movie and, like, people are going to be okay with it
also,
when it comes to, like, anime.
Specifically Japanese-made anime movies.
Oh, yeah. We should say that.
Yeah.
Specifically. Those, like, the worst one we've ever seen is still, like, a 3 for
us. Yeah, it was Fullmetal Alchemist?
And that was Blade of the Immortal.
Oh, Blade of the Immortal. Yeah, that's right.
Or no, wait, no.
No, Fullmetal Alchemist is the worst.
Full Metal Alchemist is the worst, even though we still liked it.
Exactly.
It's the worst because the story gets convoluted towards the end, and we're like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah, because it's different. Like, because, like, the American ones, it was like, no, this is just ass. And then, like, Attack on Titan, Blade of the Immortal, like, we actually have discussions about the movie because it was not bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's where I have faith. Now, when we talk about American adaptations, that's where we get nervous.
Yeah.
So, we shall see.
Yeah. I have an article about that as well.
People didn't like it either.
Yeah. No, because it's one of those things. It's like Japanese storytelling is fundamentally different than American storytelling.
I think the fan book, why those really kind of say, like, why this is so good, the gateway anime, I think, is a really, really big part of, like, its importance. Because, like, where Dragon Ball Z got me into shonen anime, Cowboy Bebop got me into, like, how do you say it? I've like never said this word out loud.
It's like Shannon.
Yeah, like I've never said Shannon out loud, but like Cowboy Bebop like isn't necessarily that, but like it's more adult, right? So like that got me into the darker animes. So it's definitely a gateway for me. And it's just so different. Like it transcends genre because you can't really place it anywhere, and I think that's really, really great. Even if it ruined Matt's childhood on Saturday nights at 3 a.m.
But once I got able to drink, I just got drunk and then passed out and didn't matter.
But I think Kate really laid out the character dynamics really well. The philosophy things is something that like has been running through my head like literally since she said it. And it makes me want to go back and, you know, get a whole rewatch through. I hope the anime does. I mean, I hope the adaptation does well, because when I listen to your episode, I hope you say it's amazing. Like, yeah, so they have everything going for it, so I'm hopeful for it. Just don't overdo it. You know, let it go when it needs to go.
My final thoughts are really simple. I'm happy that Daisato is going to be bringing us more stuff, and Netflix announced that. Samurai Champloo is great, and Cowboy Bebop is phenomenal. And rewatching it, I remembered why it is so loved. It's just really good storytelling. And Ayn! He's such an adorable pupper.
He is.
They got that corgi butt fluff. Perfect. He's perfect. Nisha, take us out.
Basically what you and Adrian said. Sorry, I can't talk anymore. Except for Matt. Nothing that Matt said. I'm kidding.
Are you, though?
But for real, I do like how well the show takes music and really lets it influence the scenes. That's like one of my top things. I love that I can relate to the characters in multiple episodes. And I didn't like rewatching it. Like I started rewatching the full series a few weeks back, and I just realized that the story is much deeper than most anime that we have. Well, I mean, most anime that was out at that time. And yeah. I think that's what I really appreciate it for, is just like going back and watching it. Now the thing that you said about philosophy, I totally want to go back and do a rewatch and read up on it. But yeah, and action, and it got me into sci-fi.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, it was like one of the first animes that really got me into sci-fi, along with like Outlaw Star. But yeah, it combines just, you know, Western and sci-fi things that, you know, you wouldn't think go well together. I mean, obviously that's Star Wars, but still, it goes really well together and it makes a great show.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, even though you bashed Cowboy Bebop for the better part of it.
Who, me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty nice.
Yeah, he was pretty nice. You should have heard.
You're nice about Cowboy Bebop as much as I'm nice about whipped cream.
Oh, no. You should have heard the Akira episode.
Like I said, when Nisha
first joined,
her Twitter is fire. Go follow her on Twitter.
Thank you.
It has wrong opinions.
Yes, but I will say this. Out of all our anime episodes, I feel like I was pretty nice on this one.
Yeah.
You were. I was giving you a hard time.
I genuinely do think that you would like Cowboy Bebop if you started, like, if you watched that first episode. Like, it has the stuff you like.
I mean,
maybe even just show him the movie.
Yeah, the movie would work. And I just think, like, the world building is really similar to Alter Carbon, and, like, I just...
Well, how are the last 5 minutes?
Good. That good. Fucking the, really ending the entire is series? Phenomenal.
I hate the... Like, I... Like, Alter Carbon, probably one of my favorite, like, seasons, or, like, that first season I probably ever watched, except the last 5 minutes. I hate it so much that it almost ruined. Like, the show probably for me is, like, a 9.9 or something like that, and without the 5 minutes, and then I drop it to, like, an 8.9 just because I hate that last 5 to 10
minutes. Well, you don't have to worry about that with Cowboy Bebop, and we're almost at 2 hours.
No low points.
I would say filler. It's strong. It's strong from beginning to the end.
Yep.
There is no weak spots.
It was more of like, the show can have low points, but then they can have dumpster fire low points.
Anyway, Nisha, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and your wrong food opinions?
I think you mean correct food opinions. But anyway, you can find me on Twitter at LA_NEY_SHA, where I drop truth bombs about scam candy, candy corn, and wasteful dessert toppings like whipped cream to bring you salvation to your taste buds. Dagnabbit.
Taste buds. Oh, well.
Why does she hurt me like this?
Because I'm helping you, beloved. I'm just trying to help you. I want what's best for you and your taste buds.
Okay, now plug all your things where everybody can go hear more of you.
Yeah, if you guys like hearing me on here, you can also hear me on a few other But Why Though podcasts. I'm on So Here's What Happened with Carolyn, where we talk about, as I mentioned before, our entertainment choices for the month. I'm also on a show called Did You Have To with Kate, where we talk about live-action anime adaptations. So we will definitely be doing the live-action Cowboy Bebop whenever that comes out eventually. I hope soon. And, yeah, that's where you can find me and listen to stuff. So come on over.
And as always, you can find the podcast at But Why Though PC on Twitter. Check out our Instagram page. We do things on it now at But Why Though PC. And make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to us on whatever you're listening to right now. It really, really helps us out. And you can find me at OMMythRandier on Twitter. Adrian?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at SuperEuriz93. SuperEuriz93.
Matt?
You can find me on the overrated, ripped-off Serenity.
Oh my god. See you soon, Space Cowboy.